Man, can I just welcome all of you? We have so many people across this room that are brand new today. Thank you for coming. I didn't say sit down. Y'all, but y'all can. It's okay. No, it's great, man. It is so good. Every Sunday we get to see new faces. I mean, right before worship, just somebody walks right, and I was like, oh, I've never seen you before. Good to meet you. And so we're glad you're here today. Whether you're here with family visiting or if you're driving through, we get a lot of interstate traffic and that kind of thing. We're just super pumped that you're a part of what's going on. We'd love for you, if you would, to connect with us. And in the chair in front of you, there's a card. You can do that way. There is on screen a QR code. You can shoot that with your phone and do it. Thank you, brother. I appreciate that. I forgot all about that. That's my happy recollection. But anyway, if you don't know what that is, you didn't grow up in the church I did. But anyway, we want you to connect with us. We'd love to just to meet you and know who you are and be able to let God speak through you to us and us to you and just become family. That's what church family is really all about. If you don't have Jesus in your life, y'all, you don't need to leave this place today without accepting Christ. You do not need to do that today. And if you came prepped and you're thinking, you're that pew hugger, man. I remember we used to have pews, and I'd just grab that pew, man. A preacher would preach, and I'd say something. The Lord would say something to me, and I'd be like, I'm not going anywhere. Fight it. Don't fight it, man. Just let go and let God do what he's going to do in your life. We do love for you to connect with us. Also, just a couple of commercials before I start preaching. Thank you, brother. This is the beginning of what Christians call Holy Week, leading up to the greatest event in human history, the resurrection of Jesus. We're going to talk about that next week. Today is Palm Sunday. This Thursday is called Maundy Thursday. Can y'all say that? Maundy Thursday? First time I saw that, I thought, why is Monday on Thursday? It's not Monday Thursday, it's Maundy Thursday. It's a celebration of the Seder when Jesus met with his disciples at the Last Supper. And we're going to do a Christian Seder here. And on screen again, we got QR codes all over the place today, so just be ready. You guys who are not electronic people, you don't have to do it this way. Just see me afterwards. I'll get you connected. See Miss Diane back here. She's on the back row. We'll figure out a way to get you connected. But if you want to do this, shoot this. Come. It's a free event. We have child care. It's for children 12 and up. But if you want child care for those under that, we will have that provided for you. And it's an incredible event. It's an annual thing we do, and you will never receive communion again the same after you've been through a Seder. So come and be a part of that. We'll celebrate that. Good Friday's Friday, and it's everything good for us, but not for Jesus. It was the day he was crucified. And then on Sunday, we'll be here next week. On Sunday, Easter Sunday this year, we're going to do a Baptism Sunday. Give you a F. That's all right. It's about resurrection, and baptism is a symbolic death, burial, and resurrection. We won't leave you under the water. Jesus didn't stay in the grave, so we'll bring you back up. I had a kid one time, he was so afraid of water, he had to grab his arm. He grabbed his arm. He held on the side of that baptistry pool. And I just remember, all I did was I got his face in. And I thought, everything from here up, they ain't going to make it to heaven. I just said, yeah, he's going to be the one-armed man in heaven. That's a joke. It's not going to happen that way, but we want to make that an opportunity for you. And here's the deal. If you don't want to wait till Sunday, every day is a baptism day in the kingdom. So you're ready for that step in your life. We would love to help you with that. You can, again, sign up for that. That's a registration code there. You can do that. It's not registration like you're signing up for it. We just need to know how many is going to want to do this so we can be prepped and ready. We'll have everything you need. Just everything. Don't worry about a thing. Just come and be here and be a part of that. Register for that. And, today is Impact Step 2. Come on, that's good. Good. If you wonder what your purpose is in this world and why God puts you here today, I'm going to help you find that. God's helping us find that all through our life and learning your spiritual gifts and who you are as a person. And it's just one step of our way of helping you find out who you are so that you can live on purpose for Jesus. How many of you understand that if you walk through life without any kind of purpose, you're just floating through, right? And some of us have lived that kind of life. We're just kind of wandering through, thinking it's all about paying the bills and making sure we have enough money to survive and more than that, and having food on the table. And all those things are important, but that's not why we live this world. We want to help you be able to discover that and impact step two. All right, you guys are ready for some word? Amen. I'm excited about today, man. I am. I think it's going to be good because all morning long I've been attacked, one thing after another. And it's stupid stuff. I'm sorry if that's a bad word to you, but it is. Stupid means mindless. That's why you don't call people stupid, because they're not mindless. God gave them a brain. It will do that. But things can become crazy in your life. And it happened to me this morning. and I let my anger get out of control. You ever do that? Do you ever just like, I mean, you think if you cuss it a little bit harder, that it's going to work the next time you do. And you back up and you try it again and you run at it again and again. And I apologize to the people who witnessed that. And it was just not pretty. But I didn't cuss anything out loud. So I'm just saying I didn't do that. But I'm telling you, you get to a point sometimes in life, you go, why is all this one thing after another after another after another? And then you realize that the things that are one after another don't even matter. If that thing didn't even work, if the electronics I was working on didn't even work, it's okay. I mean, it happened last week, and I thought, Impact's going to have a video today, and I'm going to make it happen. And, man, it just fought me every bit of the way. And I finally had to hand it off to Thomas, because Thomas is like, man, I got this. It's cool. And I need chill people in my life. That's why God gave me Liz. And I'm serious about that. There are moments when I get all up out of whack, and, man, she just helps me stay focused sometimes. And it's why God gave me some of you people in my life that are not yes people. I like not yes people, don't you? If everybody in your life says yes to you, then that's as high as you can ever go in your life. You need some people to say, uh-uh. You don't need to do that right now. And I love to have those people in my life. Oh, prayer warriors. Can I just kudos to our prayer team real quick? I'm going to preach in a minute. For you guys who time sermons, it ain't started yet, so he won't say. But I'm serious. Our prayer team rocks, man. They are here. They're engaged. At the end of our service today, they're going to be all around this room, and they're all but just begging you to come and pray. Let them go before the throne room of Christ for you, because they do it for me every Sunday. It's the only way I can get through this. It's the only way I can do this. People that think this is about a stage and about a performance and all of that, they missed it, man. They just missed it. This is an opportunity, and God gives me this responsibility. And every Sunday, I get to look across this room. See it full of people and know that online. By the way, hey, online, glad you guys are here. Love you. And y'all, this is not easy. My brother over here reminded me this morning, such a great reminder I needed to hear, that we make it too easy for everybody. Comfortable chairs, air conditioning. Did it get a little hot in here a little while for y'all a while ago? It got hot. I thought, why is it hot? Oh, it's because the heat's on today. And I got my phone out. If you saw me on my phone, I'm changing the AC. Why am I doing that? Because I didn't text Gary and tell him to do it. Because Gary's my man to do that kind of stuff. And I just thought, oh, it's hot in here. We got AC and everything, QR codes, and things are so easy. And if you don't want to come to church, you can sit at home and just not. And if you don't even want to do any of all of that, we just make it so easy. And grace is so big, and we never challenge each other to be who God's called us to be in the moment. Even when all hell's breaking loose, we need to be God's people. When you get discouraged, I love my brother Brandon Withers back there on the lights today, because when he gets down and discouraged, he texts me. So, man, I am all messed up. I need you. And I got all kinds of guys in my life the same way. We have to have. You don't have to have church in the quote sense, but you can't exist without your brothers and sisters in Christ. If you think you can for one moment spiritually exist by yourself, you are sadly mistaken. I'm sorry. I tried it for years, and you just can't do it. As a kid, I thought church didn't mean anything to me. And I'm telling you, growing up and maturing a little bit in Christ and learning that it's not just about all this stuff, we want to make it convenient for people who don't know Jesus, but we also want you to know that if you're coming to Christ today, this is not easy. Christianity's not for pansies. It's not. We need Christian men and women standing up. And I'm going to get to my sermon because it's in there. But I'm telling you, we need to be standing up for what Jesus is wanting us to do in our life. This is a life change. Yes. God wants to bless you and love you and be gracious to you, but he also wants to turn your world upside down so you will trust in him more than anything in your life. So when things come along, man, if you don't have him, you just need him. And if you don't have him, and right now, you don't have to wait till the end of my sermon. Just go ahead right now and say, Lord, I accept you as my Lord. Just do it right where you're sitting. That's step one. Just take it. Anytime you get ready to take it, God's ready to hear you say that and want to walk back into him. Now, I want to ask you, if you physically can, you're okay doing this. Would you all stand while I read the word? We are on Palm Sunday. Everybody do this? Palm Sunday. There they are. There's the palms. I see them everywhere. Scripture says this. This is the triumphal entry of Jesus into Jerusalem. As they approached Jerusalem and came to Bethpage on the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, go to the village ahead of you, and at once you will find a donkey tied there and a colt by her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, say that the Lord needs them, and he will send them right away. This took place to fulfill what was spoken almost 500 years before this happened. Say to daughter Zion, see your king comes to you gentle, riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. The disciples went and did as Jesus had instructed. They brought the donkey and the colt, placed their cloaks on them for Jesus to sit on, and a very large crowd spread their cloaks on the road while others cut branches from the trees, palm trees, and they spread them on the road. The crowds went ahead of him, and those that followed shouted. I want you to shout these words with me right here. Ready? Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest heaven. And they said it over and over and over and over and over again. Over and over and over again. And when Jesus entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred and asked, who is this? If this were a parade you were watching, you'd be asking the same thing if you didn't know. Who is this person? The crowd said, this is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth in Galilee. The nobody from Galilee who saved the world. You can be seated. I love reading the word with you guys, man. The palms in this text are associated with victory. It is a waving of victory triumph, often used to hail conquering kings as they came back into town. Messiah is here to conquer. Not in the way they thought, but he was. Clothes on the ground, honor and homage, making the way for the victorious king. Hosanna, the word Hosanna itself simply means, we made it a Christianese word, by the way, kind of like hallelujah. Hosanna means save now. You ever had that moment in your life? Okay, Lord, now would be a great time. I'm lost, Lord. I don't know what I'm going to do now. You're the one that has the answers now. And they're saying save now. Hosanna. The same crowd who many would later on say, crucify him, crucify him. And Jesus said yes to both of them. He comes into the kingdom, comes into the town as their king and their savior, and he leaves their victorious savior in a whole different way than they ever thought. I want to show you three things from this story that I've discovered, and I want to share this with you from my heart because you're going to see these themes over and over and time again in the teachings and things that I do here because this theme is all over the place in Scripture. Almost in every text, it's almost in every book, and I think is the story of Jesus' life. And the first thing is Jesus' humility. Jesus' humility. I love the word Hosanna, but it's funny that my mind, I told Micah this, I said, when we first talking about planning and worship planning, we don't just sit around. It's so cool how God just puts so many things together without us even talking about it. But we talking about, I said, well, Hosanna is the word I'm thinking of. And the more I wrote, the more I couldn't think about anything but the donkey. What's that about? And the colt of a donkey is not just the fulfilling of a prophecy almost 500 years prior, as I said earlier. He rides in on a colt, not a stallion. Notice his parade. It's not the victorious soldiers coming in having defeated something. It's his 12 disciples, and it's his people, this common people all over the place. And in the crowd, there's the religious idiots and crazy people and stuff that just they're just blown away by what was going on for different reasons. The disciples are feeling like, all right, man, if you're watching The Chosen, you know that this one, Peter's like, man, this is it. We're fixing to go kill somebody. And that's what they thought. Because the kingdom they had in mind was the ushering in the Messiah to come kill Rome, to defeat the tyranny of Rome. And then you had the religious guys who were all just afraid of him. I think they were more afraid than arrogant and cocky, although they were arrogant and cocky. They had it all figured out, and Jesus didn't look like what they thought he ought to look like. Oftentimes, God will send us people like that. You know? We want this, and he sends that. That's another whole lesson sometimes. But these guys were threatened by Jesus. Why? Because they were in power. Power makes people crazy. Power and money makes people stupid. There's that word again. It does. It makes us crazy. We just go mindless. We just go, what? Money. And it's just crazy. I could tell you some stuff about that, but I don't have time. And then there were believers who were being fulfilled in the moment going, hey, this is what we've been waiting on. When the trumpet does sound, a lot of us are going to go, man, this is what we've been waiting on. When you take your last breath and step over around the corner into the next place, I don't know exactly what it looks like, but we've been talking about it on Tuesday nights, and it's really like, whoa, what's it going to be like? I just know it's going to be a lot better than whatever's here, and times a billion infinity. But whatever, the believers are feeling this fulfillment that we are looking at the one that we've been. They would say, could this be Messiah? And he was. This is not, I'm going to tell you something, this is not. This is not Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade where Jesus is on the cult going, hey, everybody, I'm coming. These movies have messed our mind up, some of them. And they just make Jesus either look like this. Hey, glad you're here. He's either that way or he's just like this lowly. Man, there's no in between. This is a moment. This is a moment where Jesus is not making a publicity stunt saying, hey, look at me. This is a moment where a king comes into town to declare his kingdom is here. He, and if you notice in the story, he doesn't say, don't make me king yet. He accepts it. He says yes to Hosanna because he is the King of Kings. And it was about to cost him everything on this planet that he had, his life and all that. And he's asserting his authority is what he's doing. And he does that. God, it's like God does these things. He does these juxtaposition things where he's asserting authority on a donkey. It's just so like God to do this. He comes in a manger, rides in on a donkey, and goes out on a cross, and comes out resurrected, Lord and King. I'm getting ahead of myself, y'all. So Jesus, here's something I don't want you to miss today. I'm going to turn this story to a place. I'm going to turn this story where it goes like this. Jesus comes in humble on a colt, and he accepts who he is. He knows who he is. And Matthew doesn't give us a verse in between him doing that and him doing this. He makes a cord of, he makes a whip of cords. Romans called it a scourge. The same thing he would be beaten by, he forms one out. I looked at the word made. The word made is actually the word abide. That means Jesus didn't just look over, oh, there's a rope, let me grab that. He stopped what he was doing, whatever it was. And Matthew doesn't record this part, but in that word, in that moment, he somehow goes and he prepares. Mike and I were talking about the other night. He's like, Mike said, I wonder if the disciples are going, uh-oh. What's he doing over there? That looks like he's putting like, he's fixing to do something. And he was. And he goes into the temple. Jesus goes from this humble entrance to this person of authority. So the next point is Jesus' authority. He asserts his authority. Y'all, I think we've lived our Christian life all up in some submission, and we've not gotten to the strength part of who we are yet. We're going to talk about that a little bit more in just a little bit, but Jesus doesn't waste any time. Don't ever mistake Jesus' humility and his grace and his mercy for a weakling. He said, when he described his own character, he said, I am meek and lowly at heart. That doesn't make him a weakling. Meekness is not weakness. It is strength under control. You can punch the guy in the mouth, but you're not going to because you know you don't have to because you have the right kind of authority where you are. That's who Jesus was. That's meekness. And he's about to unleash some of his authority. And I want to tell you something. When I read these as an immature Christian, if you're immature and you hear these verses, I'm not going to read all the verses. I'm just going to tell you the stories. And you hear these stories about Jesus, you go, wait a minute, what happened to that guy on the colt? Because he goes into the temple, he makes a whip, drives out the money changers, people who were corrupt, taking sacrificial animals and finding, it's like people in an opportune time, they call them opportunists. Oh, it's time for sacrifice, it's Passover, so we're going to sell these lambs for much more than they're actually worth. In fact, if you bring your own lamb, we're going to deem it unnecessary and unworthy so that you can get this lamb, but we're going to sell you over here. Oh, can't afford a lamb? We've got these turtle doves over here. And there was, we don't understand this in a sacrificial culture, but people were coming to town to worship, and they were charging more money than they should have charged for the things that they were trying to help them with. And Jesus was sickened by it. Only time in Scripture that God pukes, it's at religious people who are half-hearted. And Jesus sees this, and he's just sickened by it, and he drives them out. And I just imagine disciples are, whoa, wait a minute, whoa, somebody's fixing to get hurt. And that's the way he started. The next thing Jesus does is he sees a fig tree, and the fig tree's got leaves on it. It looks like it's got fruit, and he walks over to the tree to get something because he's hungry, and the tree had an appearance of having fruit, but it had no fruit. And Jesus said, curse you, tree, you'll never bear fruit again. And I saw that, I thought, well, Jesus, what did a little fig tree do, man? I mean, he didn't just stand there, you know? You could have found another fig tree with some fruit on it. Jesus was making a point that if you're living your life looking like on the outside, you got all this fruit for God and you got all this good for God, except you're empty on the inside. He's fighting against the religious establishment of the day, trying to get them to understand that religion won't do anything for you. And so Jesus curses the tree, and the disciples go, oh my goodness, you remember what disciples do? They watch their Lord. They want to be like their Lord. They want to do like their Lord. They want to live like their Lord, everything they did. And he looks at them and he says, you're amazed that I cursed the fig tree. The next day it was withered. And he said, you're amazed that I did that. He said, you're going to do exactly like I am, even more. And poured authority all up in them. Jesus is in his authority place. He's in his strength place. In his strength place. So he curses the tree. The next thing he does is call out the hypocrites. That's what I started, the hypocrites. The hypocritoi, these are actors. These are people who wear a different mask every day. I'm a Christian. I look like this. It's your Facebook page, a lot of you. It's your Facebook page. Yeah, everything good goes on Facebook. You never put anything bad. Or you put all bad. Y'all, it's that whole thing. It's okay, but it's just messing a lot of us up. I'm sorry. But don't allow the hypocrisy of your religion to make you look good, but on the outside, you're not acting and being who you're supposed to be on the inside. You see, Jesus called them disobedient children, murderous tenants, flippant invitees to a wedding. Invite you to a wedding? I invite you to a wedding, but you didn't show up? Invite you to a wedding? You all these prophets come to you and you just kill them? And he was just upset. And then Jesus is met with questions, which is always hilarious in the scriptures if you know it at all. When they ask Jesus questions, so they ask Jesus this question about John the Baptist, and Jesus says, well, I'll tell you what. I forgot the question. Anyway, they ask Jesus a question, and Jesus says, okay, I'll tell you what. I'll answer your question if you'll do this. Was John the Baptist from God or was he not? And they said, well, if we say he is, then he's going to say, why didn't you obey him then? If we say he's not, the people are going to kill us. So we'll just say this. And they said, I don't know. And Jesus said, well, I won't tell you what I know then. And they just look at Jesus and go, wait a minute, Lord, that's not meek and lowly. Jesus said, I'm not going to tell you either. Why would he do that? Why would he do it? Because he knew their heart. And it's so cool. At the end of Matthew 22 and verse 46, I'm going to read this from the King James in a minute. I like the King James transition of this one. But Jesus, did I say transition? It's translation, sorry. Yeah. So Jesus asked them a question that they couldn't answer. And his reaction, their reaction was this. No man was able to answer him a word, neither durst any man. There's your word. I durst not do that. Neither durst a man. That just cracks me up. I'm sorry. Any man from that day forth asked him any more questions. Why? Because they couldn't deal with his authority. And he wasn't about to let them off the hook. Y'all, you're right, brother. We let it make it too easy. We let people off the hook too many times. We need to say, hey, wait a minute. Let's call this on the carpet for what it is. And Jesus does that. Now, I'm going to tell you, the results for Jesus' life wasn't real good. So before you start going off half-cocked telling people what's bad about them, get your heart right. Make sure you're walking in the authority of Christ. Because if you don't, it will eat you up. And even if you do, it may eat you up. Because authority costs people something. It costs you something. Jesus is not asking you to come along so you can sit in the chair and be nice and comfortable every Sunday. He's asking you to come along and die with him. That's what he told the disciples. If it costs your life, be thou faithful unto death. Doesn't mean be faithful until you die. It means be faithful if it gets you killed. That's what they were living. Is this a little challenging for y'all today? This is a lot challenging for me. It's so easy, man, It's just so easy. And then Jesus doesn't stop there. Just because they stopped asking him questions, it means he stopped answering them. Matthew spends a whole chapter with Jesus going, woe unto you, scribes, Pharisees, hypocrites. Y'all remember when I talked about discipleship? Those of you who were here, you remember? If you didn't, go back. It's not because it's me. The information's incredible. But those guys knew the Word of God. They were authorities in the Word. They could quote the whole Old Testament frontwards and backwards and interpret it and all these things. And Jesus says, woe unto you. He's not saying stop like you do to a horse. Whoa, we're not saying this. W-O-E. Woes like that aren't good. He says, scribes and Pharisees, you hypocrites. You clean the outside of the cup, but inside. You ever gone to somebody's house and they gave you a cup, they didn't quite get washed good? They didn't mean to. But you look at it and you make this decision. Oh, you guys are awesome people. And you're going, okay, what do I do with this? Man, this thing's moving in here. I don't know. That's what Jesus is saying. You got it all clean on the outside, but you got junk in your cup. You look great. Your tomb is great. It's all whitewashed, cleaned up, flowers on it, everything. Still dead people in it. Jesus didn't let up over and over and time and time and time again, working in his authority, opening his heart up to these religious people. And you think for a moment that Jesus is like just mad at him. He's just angry. He's just, don't do this. Do this. All right. I mean, John the Baptist called them vipers. You snakes. And it was because they were trumping, religion was trumped over and top. They were putting over top their religion and the religiosity and the forms and all those things. Like the kid with the baptism. We used to teach that. I used to teach that if you don't go all the way under, it don't count. I've done people twice before. I'll just be honest. I've done it before because some body part didn't go under. It is an immersion. It is a burial. But God's less concerned about how much arm you got out than how much heart you got in. That's what I'm learning about my God every day and walking in trust in him. That doesn't mean all things are going to work out. I still have problems and issues, but I walk in trust in him. And Jesus is saying this over and over and over again. And just about the time that you get used to strong Jesus, where he's like, yeah, man, I'm like this. Jesus kicking some butt, man. This is great. And all of us who know the story, when you read these now, you go, oh, that's hilarious. Oh, this, because you know from looking back on it, you know he is actually, but that's not Jesus' point, just to go in and hurt somebody. He's trying to get them to understand just how much he loves them. Before you get angry at Christian religion people and people that are more religious than they are believers and more religious than they are, maybe they're out of balance like I used to be. And hey, I still get there. Let's don't get too comfortable with ourselves. We're non-denom church, so we don't do all that stuff. Yeah, come on, man. Some of y'all got hang-ups. I do too. But living in the heart of God means that we get to be, somebody told me one day, we're less non-denominational, more interdenominational, because in this room we got 90 opinions of different things, and it's okay as long as we agree on Jesus. I never thought I'd ever say that in my whole life. But knowing it the way I do, it's so true. Just about the time you get used to this Jesus, this is what happens. We see Jesus' heart. In his heart, his submission at the beginning, his lowliness, his humility is submission. His authority is sacrifice. His authority is strength. And then his heart is his sacrifice. After all these woe passages, at the end of Matthew 23, Jesus says this. And he's looking out over this city. He just got through rebuking and kicking out of the temple and telling these religious people they were hypocrites and on and on and on. He just got through doing that. And then all of a sudden, he says this. Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem. The city that kills the prophets and stones the God's messengers. How often I would have gathered you together, your children together, as a hen gathers her chicks beneath her wings. But you wouldn't let me. Keep that up there for a minute, brother. I believe, of all the pictures I see of God in Scripture, it's at least one of my favorites. I won't say it's the greatest, maybe I would. Jesus said, y'all know I don't know much about chickens or hens or any of that stuff except what I get on the table. It's already ready for me to put in my body. But this beautiful picture of this bird putting her wings over her chicks and covering them up to protect them, they feel safe there, man. They're right where they want to be. They're close to mama. And we see picture after picture of this. And Jesus is likening Jerusalem to those people. He said, I would have done that for you. And he could have, he don't say this here, but we know by what we know about him is he actually did do that even after in post-resurrection. We get to see that next week. And that last little phrase, but you wouldn't let me, indicates that Jesus is not going to jerk you up and make you do anything. As much as he wanted them to know. He didn't call them hypocrites because he was just mad and throwing stuff and throwing things around. He was trying to get them to understand. One little tidbit about the temple. When he cast that was at the moment where they were buying for sacrifices. You got the sacrificed one saying to them that this is your sacrifice now. I think that was a picture. I think he was saying, this is done. Whew. This is over. We're done with all this stuff. We're out of here. And I think we could see that almost as Jesus shutting the door on the old covenant and saying, I'm here. I'm here. If you'll just look at me and you'll just listen to what I have to say and you'll live your life for me. And you guys who are bucking against Jesus and fighting against him and fighting against him, he might think of you, he might would say to you, you're being hypocritical. You're being a hypocrite. You need to change. If you are, do. I'm way ahead of myself. Scripture goes on here. He says, after he says all this about the chicks, but you wouldn't let me, he says, and now, look, your house is abandoned and desolate. I remember when, was it Regency Square Mall in Huntsville? No, that was in Florence. That's where I grew up. This one, whatever, Madison Square Mall, I think is what it was in Huntsville. Y'all remember right before they shut that bad boy down and tore it to the ground? Did you walk through there? Did you ever walk through the place when there was no stores in it? It's like walking through a ghost town. When I remember it being a life place, food smelling and people shopping and stuff moving, it was dead inside. This is what we're talking about here. The house of God was desolate. Desolate. Why? Because they missed Messiah. He said, for I tell you this, you will never see me again until you hear me say. Did you hear that? He'd never see you again until you hear me say. This ain't my notes, but I just sense this whole idea of God is saying to me here, listen, until you hear God say, I'm the one that's going to bless you how you need to be blessed in the name of the Lord, the one who comes in the name of the Lord, you're not, until you hear that, you're not going to see me. You're not going to see me. Thank you, God, for giving me that. God, I need to hear you more. And when you get in a place in your life, wherever that is for you, and I've been there just not too long ago, where you're going, I don't know what this is about. What is this, Lord? I don't understand. All it did was drive me to the Word to trust my God. Trust the Lord. Trust the Lord. You know why? Because there's nothing else in the world. You think I'm trusting the chemo they're putting in my body? I'm thankful to God if that's what they need to do to heal me and God needs to work through that. I'm fine with that. I'm actually not fine with it. I have another treatment tomorrow, and I don't want to go. And I just keep thinking, God, you're just taking care of me, and I just trust you. But it's driven me to the Word of God to say and I actually started putting his promises in my prayers. God, you said you heal the wounded. You bind their you heal the brokenhearted. You bind their wounds. Lord, your stripes heal me. On and 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 on. And most of the time when you send me stuff that says I'm hurting, I need this or that or whatever, I just say, listen, drive yourself back to where God is and trust him. Listen to God so you can see Jesus. Jesus never did any of this stuff because he was mad at them. Jesus was hurt. You ever tell your kids, I'm going to punish you and it's going to hurt me worse than it does you? That's a true statement. We don't like doing that. Didn't like doing it, never liked doing it. People who like doing that are need to be put in jail. But I'm telling you, Jesus is saying, I want to rescue you. Just listen. That's why he loved his disciples so. They were just guys that were fishing and said, okay, I'm going to follow you because I love you now. Ready to follow Rabbi. And he sacrificed his life for them. And that's the rest of the book of Matthew. And they rejected him. This idea of sacrifice is at the very middle of who God is. And I want to give you the point that's on your notes. It just says point at the bottom. It's really one point today. And the one point is this. Don't reject Jesus. And I know you fill in the blankers are saying there's three more blanks. I'm going to get to those right now in just a moment. But I want you to understand that if you reject Christ, it is an eternal rejection. It's you're messing with your eternity. If you're at home and you're going, I don't know what it's all about, we want to help you understand what it's about. To be quite frankly honest, it's about time I figure out what it's about, I see something different. That doesn't mean God's going to confuse you. It just means that I see something deeper. Maybe I should say it that way. I want you to know that if you reject Christ, you've rejected the very thing that's going to create a situation for you to be able to live eternally with God one day. Jesus entered Jerusalem victorious. It was a moment of time for him, and his followers had longed for it. The king had arrived. Messiah was here. He would save them from Roman oppression, is what they thought. But he saved them eternally. And he exits Jerusalem victorious. He left Jerusalem crowned the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And as we go about our daily walk, what part of your thinking makes you do this? Such a precious moment. I had this moment with Mo and Liz and I were sitting over here. She walks up to us and she says, I don't know what she was doing at the party yesterday, but this is what she said. She said, Carly Ann's 13. Carly Ann's 13. Ain't that great? Congratulations. Yep, graduating college next week. So Mo comes over. I don't know why there wasn't anything compelled her to say this to us, but she looked up and she said, how was it Carly Ann's birthday party yesterday? And I was thinking about how much I want to worship the Lord. Really? I was introducing them to TJ down here this morning, and Emma and Mo, and I just thought about the heart of these kids, man. They come in here, and they sit down on the front, and they're raising their little hands to Jesus, man. And I can't hardly watch them and worship much. Because there's a heart in that. That's because they've been taught well. And they know who Jesus is. And they love him. Whatever level that is. Probably deeper than most of us. Jesus is coming into your life to rescue you from the tyranny of the enemy. Did you hear me? Struggle with addiction? Struggle with problems? Struggle with anxiety? Struggle with depression? Struggle with pornography, alcohol, language, anger, thinking about somebody else meeting your needs more than Jesus, putting your job over your church or your family or God or in any way. Y'all, there's numerous ways the enemy has got us so duped. Feeling more patriotic than you do spiritual? Stop it. And Jesus just keeps saying, I'm not here to rescue you from atheism and homosexuality and all of that. Now, personally, he's able to do it, but I'm talking about ridding all this stuff from our culture. We think if we could just make our culture Christian, it's going to be okay. That's probably not going to happen. But we are Christians who can make our culture love Jesus, and that's a whole different animal. Will take people out of those sins if they will allow him to do so. He will take people out of that place in your life. And do not hear me saying, if you say yes, Jesus is Lord, that your life is automatically going to get smooth and easy from here on out. I'm not saying that. You've heard me say that a lot. For you new folks, I just want you to know, I'm not trying to sell you some kind of health and wealth thing that if you put a bunch of money in the black box, you're going to just get a bunch of money on your bank account. Tried it. I had a friend of mine tell me once, God's never given me everything I wanted. I said, well, that's great, because if you did, you'd be a spoiler brat than you already are. He said, I prayed for a red Corvette for years. He said, I don't see it in my driveway. We got to joking about all those things. Those blessings, all that stuff, y'all know what that is. We need to do three things. Here you fill in the blanks. You ready? You need to humble yourself. You need to humble yourself if you're not there, if you've never gone there before. For you guys who have gone there and are not there right now, I'll get to you in a moment. For you guys who have not given your life in submission to Jesus, that means you surrender everything to him. All of it. Everything. There's no room for anything else if you put enough of Jesus in your life. You don't have any room to squeeze anything else in. It doesn't mean you run away from your life. You still go to work. You still do your things. But no, those things, whatever that is no longer your Lord. It's called submission. It's sacrificing. Humble yourself in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up, James 4 and verse 10. But you don't stay there all the time. You stay in submission. But in submission, some of us are in a place where we need to, while we are in submission to the King of Kings, that we start living in the authority that Jesus has given us, in the strength that Jesus walked in. Call it what it is. See it for what it is. Stop making excuses. Stop listening to the enemy. Men, you need to rise up and quit letting your wife tell you got to come to church. You got to say, I'm going to go today. You coming with me? Same for women. We got women who come because husband, and women that are, there is no Lord. Your kids are not your Lord. Your husband, your wife's not your Lord. Your boyfriend, girlfriend's not your Lord. Your school's not your Lord. Your job's not your Lord. Nothing's your Lord but Him. Walk in His authority, because at the end of the day, your job is one mess up from being gone. It is. Your bank account's just one bad decision from being nothing. But when you make a decision for Christ and you walk in that strength and that authority, come on, Brandon, while you're in it, brother, you just keep making one step after another. And I say that to him because he's my brother. And we challenge each other all the time. I want you to know, when we challenge each other to walk in that strength, Scripture says this: walk in His authority. He raised us from the dead along with Christ and seated us with Him in the heavenly realms because we were united with Christ. That's a big old word that says Jesus is basically, He didn't raise us to failure. He didn't raise us to this, I got to be a Christian so I can't cuss no more, I can't watch TV no more, I can't drink a beer, I can't do this. We make Christianity this, what do you do and what you don't do and all those things. Y'all, it's simply putting Jesus as Lord over all those things and walking in that authority. How many of you women would love for your husband just right now, don't punch him too hard, don't make him too mad or anything, but you would just love for your husband to just make a spiritual decision in the home. I'm going to tell you something, guys. I'm not mad at you. I'm not angry at you. I love you. Some of you are not here yet, and it's okay. It's okay if you're not there yet. But if you've been walking in submission for year after year after year after year, you're a one-year-old Christian year after year after year after year, come on, step in your authority. Step in what Jesus has called you to do. I waited too long, y'all, to do it. I just did. I waited too long to do it. And I could live in that regret and worry about it and all this, but I just don't. I just want to walk in that authority now. And when the enemy tries to smite me in the face with it, I just to the point where you just go back to hell where you came from. That's all. I'm with the Smith Wigglesworth world. If I see Satan rocking in a chair in my living room, I say, oh, it's just you. I'm going back to bed. That's a power that we walk in every day. And the more Holy Spirit is in me, and the more I live in Him and live for Him, and the more, and I'm trying to be empowered off of this stage more than I am on this stage. Y'all, when I get here, there's some kind of weird anointing on me that I can't even explain. And it makes me strong when I say these words. But Liz knows how weak I can be outside of here. My kids know how weak I can be outside of here. Some of you guys know. I want to make it line up. That's why I meet with Todd on Saturday mornings with these brothers of mine when I can and just talk about kingdom men and being kingdom men. That's why I want to be with what Caleb's doing with our men's ministry and start walking in strength, guys. This ain't about just having a men's breakfast. That's Saturday. Is that Saturday? Anyway, it ain't about just men. No, it ain't Saturday. Anyway, don't matter. It ain't about that. It's just those are fun times and great times, and I love studying the Word and doing all these things. Yo, we got to put some boots on the ground. Micah, I'm sorry, brother. I told you this wasn't going to be long, but it's longer than I meant for it to be, brother. I told Micah, I said, come on up and play. And he plays the same chords over and over again. You know why? Because he loves Jesus. He don't do that to do anything. On and on, I could go with this whole stuff. We can say Hosanna in our strength so that we can do the third thing, and that is this, to sacrifice ourselves. I'm on the backside of my life, no matter how it shakes out. I just am, and I know that. When my dad died, I was the oldest of two brothers, me and my brother. I was the oldest of two, and I thought, okay, I'm the next in line. And it put a heaviness on me. And some of you are here. Some of you are in submission. You need right now, you don't need to listen to the strength part. I wasn't talking to you. I want you to understand you need to submit your will in life. And will y'all excuse me if I'm leaning a little bit heavy on us as men? I think it changes the world. I love you women, and we'll have a message someday geared up toward that, but I love and I appreciate all you do. But brothers, we just need to step up. Love Jesus deeply, deeply, deeply. You sacrifice yourself so that you can give your kids something. You don't leave your kids a bunch of money, that's up to you, but you better leave them faith, because faith will get them when they don't have any money. And I'm telling you, just lead them in the ways of Christ. Sacrifice your time, your energy. John the Baptizer said something we all need to say, and that is this: he must become greater and greater, and I must become less and less. Come on, y'all stand up with me, okay? Y'all stand up with me. Prayer team, don't know I'm going to do this, but this just came in my heart, okay? So prayer team, I want you guys to line up right here next to the stage on the side right here. Just half over here and half over there. It doesn't matter how you do that. Just line up over there. And We're not going to go to the back today. All right, so this is not about my emotion, even though I'm very emotional about it, because this was not in the plan. I'm going to ask anybody that wants to be prayed over. You don't have to say a word to any of these people, but all these people are going to raise their hands and pray over a group of people that come right here and just stand. If we got enough room down here, we'll pile them up in the rows or whatever. It's time to move. We're not going to ask you any questions. We're not going to make you get up here and confess all your bad stuff. We're not going to say, in fact, we don't have to say anything. Maybe this is making it too easy, brother. I don't know, but I'm ready to make it so easy for somebody that if you resist coming to Jesus today, you go home and go home and go, man, that was so, I could have just walked up there. And all we're going to ask you to do is to come, and it doesn't, even if you know Jesus and you're in one of these stages, maybe you're submitted too long and you need to walk in authority. You need prayer to walk in authority as a man of God in your family. Maybe you're a wife that needs to give up some control and let your man walk in authority. Maybe you're a mom that needs to take more authority over your children. Maybe some more, I don't know what it is. But come and walk in that authority. And some of you are at that stage of your life right now where you need to end well. And you just need somebody to raise their hands over you and pray for whatever. God knows He can connect all of this through the Spirit of God. Praise God for the Holy Spirit. So you don't have to wait any longer. Just turn the lights down as low as we get it without making it dangerous, guys. And just give you an opportunity to come down. Just if you'll just come stand here. I'm standing myself. I'm standing right here. Because I need to walk in more authority. I do. That's where I am. Sometimes I feel like I give up and give. Come on, Javon. Come over, brother. Will you stand with me? I love this man. I love this man. Come on. Anybody else? Come on, stand with me. Anybody. No matter who you are, man, woman, it doesn't matter, child. If you want to be prayed over, we're going to wait till everybody that wants to be here can be here. You say the room's got full of people. We'll back up. We'll do whatever we have to do. Come on. Y'all get on down here. Come on. Anybody wants to come? Come on. Right now. Come on, prayer team. Let's start praying. Come on, prayer team. Y'all, lift your hands. Let's lift your hands and pray over these people. Whatever's on your heart right now, if you want to speak it out loud to somebody, you step up to a prayer warrior camp. If you don't want to, you don't have to. Just right now. Nobody's looking around. Come on, y'all. Let's just give whatever it is to back to the Lord. Let's give it back to Him. Let's sacrifice up whatever it is to Him. Say, God, I can't handle it anymore. I can't walk in this stuff anymore. I don't even know what to do. But I'm going to trust You to do what I have to do what You need to do in my life. And Father, right now I'm praying over all these people who are coming. I'm not even looking up, Lord. I don't know who's here and who's not. God, I just want to pray. I want to pray, Father, just in a public kind of way over these people, Father. People who are struggling so many different ways in marriages. God, heal marriages in Jesus' name. Raise up men and women of God. Heal marriages in Jesus' name. God, there are people with physical ailments that can't walk as good as they used to do and all these things, God. But just come on, Lord, give some healing today in this house, Lord. We pray over all those who are hurting with physical infirmities, Lord. I praise You that my left leg has not been numb this whole service, Lord. Thank You this whole preaching time. God, thank You for anointing me with that kind of healing today. Lord, I pray over all the people right now that are depressed and hurt and struggling with PTSD and anxiety and frustration and anger and so many things. God, I pray over that, Lord, in Jesus' name, that it has to go because we've mentioned Jesus' name over it. Father, I pray over the people who are just desperate to know what's next and they don't know, Lord. I pray that You will help them to know what's next. And if they need to know, ask us and we'll try to help them, Lord, whatever that is. Father, for the person who's still standing and is afraid to move, God, I ask for movement in their life, that You help them to take a step for You, Lord, that it matters who we are in You, Father. And I just pray over that in Jesus' name. Oh, God, I pray for the children in this room, the teens who are every day, they're having a fight, judgmentalism and peer pressure and maybe even some addictions in their own life, and they're giving over into sexual addiction or maybe doing things they shouldn't do, whatever it is, or not doing the things they should. God, I pray for an anointing of Your Spirit over our young people today, that they will walk in authority, that they will walk in the name of Jesus, that they will be able to stand, Father. The submission level is done for some of them, Lord, even at that age. And I pray as they continue to submit their life, that they will walk in the strength and authority of Jesus. Father, I pray for the old people in this group, Father. That's me. I pray, Father, that You will help us to finish our life well. Father, whatever it is, maybe there's something in our life, Lord, that we've done in the past that we need to tell somebody, hey, I'm sorry, I shouldn't have done that. Lord, I pray for a revealing of that in our heart. Not only revealing, but a power to confess that in Jesus' name and get healing and blessing for the thing that's been on us for so long. For people who are struggling through or in or around the ravages of divorce, God, I pray that you will speak life into them and to know that there is life after that. And that, Father, you have not abandoned them. You have not left them. Even if they've messed up and made mistakes, Lord, you are the God who forgives. You are the God not only who forgives, but who forgives and never, ever, 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 never, ever remembers it again, God. So thank you for putting those things in the past and treating us and loving us as your children. God, I pray for those who need to sacrifice something. Maybe it's a job situation or whatever it is, Lord, in order to be more in tune with what you would have in their life. Maybe it's a career path or a college decision or whatever that is, God. I pray over them, Father, that you will anoint and you will help them to know what they need to do next, Father. Give them freedom, God, for all the things that are in our past. Thank you, Lord, that you are our save now. You are our Hosanna. Father, Hosanna in the highest. We sing it to you today. We praise you in it today. We honor you in it today. Father, you are the King of glory. You are the King of glory.
Heal my heart and make it clean. Come open up my eyes to the things of sin. Oh, show me how to love like you. Oh, you love me. Oh, break my heart for what breaks yours. Oh, and everything I am for your kingdom's cause. As I walk from birth into eternity.
God, I just in the moment right now, I just want to pray over the children that are astray, Lord. I want to pray over the prodigals that we know of in our lives that have walked away from you, God. Right now, Father, wherever they are, put within their heart a touch of your Holy Spirit, God. Help them to feel the refreshing of your power. Help them to know how much that we love them and want to see them come to you, Lord. So right now, Father, as you are our Hosanna, come and save now in their lives, in the highest. Hosanna.
Hosanna. Hosanna. Hosanna in the highest. Hosanna. Hosanna.
Honestly say that, we mean it. Now listen, if you're in the room and you feel a little challenged, a little pushed, it's okay. Sense that. If you feel a challenge, you say, I couldn't do anything in here, but I would love to talk to somebody afterwards. Please, we're going to be here for a little while. We have impact immediately afterwards back here. Some of us will be glad to help you in any way that we can. Some of you guys, my shepherds, my DLs, all you guys, let's stay around, prayer team. Let's hang out for a little bit today. Give people an opportunity to find somebody you don't, if you don't know who this, hey, are you part of this? Come on, let us get to know you a little bit. We love you. We appreciate you so much. Those of you who are partners in our church, do not forget to give today before you go. You're giving to God through the church. We're just trying to help people in the world. So please help us if you can. The little black boxes in the back are for that. If you did a connection card like in-house, would you just drop those in the little slot on top of those giving boxes on the back wall back there as you leave? Once again, if you're a guest, we love you. Thank you for being here. God bless and have a great, great, wonderful Sunday. Hey, and go tell a child care worker when you pick up your kids, tell them how much you appreciate what they do. It's awesome. Thank you.
our songs be a sign. We are here for you. We are here for you.
Troubles come surround. I was lost, now I'm found. Like a glimmer of hope that will never let me go. You bring peace to my soul. Find run, my heart between the lines. I could run and hide, but still you're by my side. The world could never satisfy. You've opened up my eyes to find. You give me technicolor love.
Above, Lord, I know I can trust you. Every step that I take, you are with me all the way, caught in rhythms of grace. Between the lines, I could run and hide, but still you're by my side. The world could never satisfy.